This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. Puerto Rico has been through a lot. Back in 2017, Hurricane Maria hit the island, devastating the power infrastructure and causing some more remote homes to be without power for up to a year. Follow that with a 6.4 magnitude earthquake in 2020 and Hurricane Fiona in 2022. And, well, Puerto Rico is on the front edge of building climate resiliency into its power grid, installing solar, storage, virtual power plants. As a result, Puerto Rico is showing us what a future, more distributed and resilient grid could look like. To get a sense as to the progress the island has made and to learn from the lessons Puerto Rico has endured, I've invited Javier Rua onto the podcast. Javier is the Chief Policy Director for the Solar and Energy Storage Association of Puerto Rico. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or about how long I lasted laying mulch in my front yard this spring. Hey, that's what teenagers are for, right? Let's get it on. It's been about 6.5 years since Maria devastated Puerto Rico. The power grid was gone, and the island is still recovering from that disaster. But in doing so, it's building back with a better, more distributed, more resilient grid. Organizations like CESA are helping the island to do so.
CESA is basically the Puerto Rico Trade Association of the Solar and Battery Companies. We are the local affiliate of SEA. Your listeners might know SEA. SEA is the Solar Energy Industry Association in D.C.
Maria exposed the Puerto Rico power grid. For one thing, the grid relied on long transmission lines to bring power sited all the way on the other side of the island. But even if the transmission hadn't been knocked out, the generating stations relied upon imported fuels that couldn't make it to the ports in the first place.
So Puerto Rico's, you know, historical paradigm showed its weaknesses just automatically. The central system with long distance transmission, you know, generation far from loads, and then you had to like procure and also import. You know, fossil fuel, and the ports were closed. You couldn't operate the ports after Maria.
After Maria, Puerto Rico realized that they needed to change the way that their power grid operated, and they've been pretty diligent in how they're doing so, starting with reconfiguring the local power utility, PREPA, the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority.
Puerto Rico's historical energy paradigm Puerto Rico's historical governmental paradigm at writ large has been really top-down monopoly, government-owned monopoly paradigms, including power. Act 57 creates the regulator for the first time. It was called the Energy Commission.
And that new oversight didn't end with just the Energy Commission. PREPA was eventually dissolved into two other entities, LUMA, which handles all of the transmission and distribution of the island's electricity, and Genera, which handles the generation. And once the central utility was reconfigured, the legislators turned their sights onto what a distributed, resilient power system could look like.
Before Hurricane Maria, there was a nascent, solar industry in Puerto Rico, as I mentioned. There were some solar farms built, but in terms of like rooftop solar, there might have been around 9,000 systems, none with batteries. It was just like net metering, you know, clients. Just for our sense, right now, Puerto Rico companies and are installing around 4,000 systems a month, more than that, actually, 4,500 systems a month, with all of them with at least one battery.
And a big part of that growth has been because legislation has supported renewable deployment, both by setting audacious renewable standards, but by also removing barriers such as permitting that were holding back deployment.
Act 17 really codifies all the good policies we want for renewables, including Puerto Rico's RPS, which is a renewable portfolio standard, which is basically Puerto Rico's goals for 100% renewables by 2050 and with stair steps towards that end. Quickly after Maria, he put out an executive order basically making rooftop solar totally permitless. So Act 17, one of the things it does, it codifies and makes that executive order, turns it into law.
The main driver for those new solar projects? Resiliency, naturally. but the economics pencil too, making those projects really cost effective. But with all those new distributed projects come new challenges, ones that need to be addressed if Puerto Rico is going to make their 100% renewable goal. So the island is attempting to address these issues through judicious use of the FEMA and governmental support funds, aiming at building a better grid rather than simply replacing the existing one.
So the challenge there is to wisely invest that money in what we call, as an industry, really the bottom-up grid. We tell LUMA, we tell everybody, just spend this money intentionally in a way that makes the paradigm that we have legislated upon ourselves possible. Plan this money and spend this money, invest it widely in a proactive, to be really nerdy here, in a proactive hosting capacity way. You know, think of it about making the grid future-proof for DG and EVs.
Part of that includes an investment plan that includes investing in smarter, more resilient assets, something FEMA calls an interagency resiliency plan.
And it has different brackets, and there's some important investment there on the distribution side of things for a kind of like a better grid, a smarter grid.
Investments that could include even things such as advanced metering infrastructure. The next step, scaling up solar and deploying utility scale assets on the island.
Even though Puerto Rico's rooftop solar and battery market is super fast, it doesn't really move the needle at the speed we need it to reach the levels that we put into law. There is a batch of large-scale projects that might be built, and I hope they are, which are about 800 megawatts. So if they are built, Puerto Rico would jump to over 80%.
Puerto Rico has taken a very diligent path towards reimagining their grid, starting with reconfiguring their utility, implementing the legislation that promotes renewable distributed resources, easing permitting and siting, and deploying investments into what a distributed, resilient grid could look like.
Solar and storage works. It's a tried and true technology. Let's focus on what it's easy to do and doable. It will change the world today.
I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.